I want to welcome everybody to The Green Side with your hosts Josh Babbitt and Sean Ware. The Green Side is a monthly show directed at everything that happens in and around the green, from news and talk about short game equipment, to accessories, to tips and drills, and everything else. From the experts on how to make your game better inside of 100 yards. If it's news, we'll have it for you. I want to take this opportunity to introduce my co-host that's with me each and every week. His name is Sean, and he is from putterzone.com.
Hey, Josh.
How's it going?
What's shaking in paradise today?
Things are going well, and it's always news when we get to do this show, because each and every day it seems like more and more stuff is bombarding our emails, and people are talking about it on the websites.
Yeah, there's always a new UFO shooting through the sky, that's for sure.
No question about it.
I'm having a lot of fun with this. It seems like, you know, a month goes by and it feels like a week since we last, you know, did the previous show.
Well, that's so. Exactly right. And, you know, because there's so much stuff coming out from companies, whether it's news, equipment, different things that we want to discuss, it does. It flies by, and we're already storyboarding the next show.
Yeah, maybe we'll have to make it a weekly show or invent a 36-hour day or something.
Yeah, I like the idea of a 36-hour day. I could actually get some work done.
Yeah, I hear you.
You know, most of the people who have heard this show, but for some of the listeners that may have never heard it, the Green Side's broken down into sections. We have hot new gear, the buzz, tech talk, and a section we call Jargon Buster, which is a great educational section. I have my pen and pad because Sean is far more knowledgeable than I am, and I can take notes. But we hope everybody's enjoying it. The feedback we're getting is phenomenal so far. And if you have any questions or comments, you can email either one of us. He is Sean at putterzone.com. That's S-E-A-N. And I am Josh at thehackersparadise.com. And we are just glad to be bringing this show to you guys.
Definitely. Well, why don't we get started on hot new gear?
That sounds good to me.
Well, Josh, as everyone should know by now, that sound signifies the hot new gear segment of the Green Side. And I hear, speaking of UFOs, that you've got one called the Odyssey Backstrike in hand.
That is actually true. And in fact, it's kind of funny you said that. It is sitting right next to me. I've been messing around with it quite a bit. And, you know, we have some pictures and initial thoughts up on the THP forum. It's different than what I've seen. When I first heard about it, it reminded me of that stupid infomercial, and I'm not going to call a company stupid, but for that face forward wedges, I didn't quite know what to make of it. I tried the wedges. They didn't work for me, by the way. Some people swear by them. But, you know, then I got the thing and saw pictures, and I still didn't quite understand it. And then I used it, and I actually liked it. And everybody that we've talked to that has tried it, it's polarizing because of, you know, what the technical side of it. But most of the people who have tried it on our putting green really enjoy it. What are your thoughts on the technical side of it and what it's supposed to do?
Well, Josh, I think conceptually from what I've read and looked at and seen from afar, because I haven't had the opportunity to give one of these a workout, I mean, it seems like it's built on some pretty cool fundamentals that haven't been built into a putter before.
That's my take. You know, by setting it up the way it is, it's definitely to promote proper hand position for forward press, which of course will create top, you know, forward roll and top roll without skidding. I think that some people should evaluate forward press before they jump onto a putter like this. But fundamentally, you're exactly right. It does exactly what it says it's going to do.
Yeah, and I guess speaking from just the standpoint of logic, if you look at it, sort of the key features of that, what they list, you know, are visible face alignment. I think obviously it's the way that the shaft is into the heel. Obviously, you've got really nice visual read on the face of the putter. Forward press stabilization is built into the putter. Again, that seems fundamentally sound. And then this sort of stroke balancing scheme that they've got, so that it's sort of in line, the balance is in line with the stroke path. I mean, it all sounds logical, it sounds solid. But having not played one myself, it's just hard for me to say if that's going to translate to something I'm going to want to use or that's going to fit my game. And to be honest, the look of the putters is a bit of a turnoff to me for some reason.
You know, I thought it was to me as well. However, I have to say, when you stand over the ball and you set up, it seems to work. And the sight doesn't bother me. Not nearly as much as some of the other. And in previous shows, we've talked about some hideous putters. and I'll say, quote unquote, wacky looking putters. This one doesn't really bother me as much. It's definitely different, but once you start getting used to it, it does what it says. So I guess in that aspect, it's hard for me to knock any product like that because there's so much hogwash in marketing nowadays in all industries. When a company puts something out, and Odyssey's been on kind of a roll lately, when they put something out that does exactly what it says, that's always news for me and puts a smile on my face.
Well, I was going to say, can I borrow yours? But it doesn't sound like I'm going to be able to pry it out of your hand.
It's funny you say that because I can't pry it out of golfer gal's hands. She's got it in the bag and she's going to review it and she's extremely happy with it. So for somebody like her who loves her putters, I was surprised this one went right in there. But man, is it in there and she's got a firm grip on it.
Sounds like I'll have to find my own then.
The next putter we're going to talk about in hot new gear, and like last show we did a putter and we also talked about, you know, other short game gear. This time we're talking about two different putters and a company we've discussed before, and that is Seymour. And their full mallet and their oversized mallet series, the SB1, which was last year's putter, and the new SB2 that apparently has taken the world by storm because looking at their website, it's sold out till August. You played with the SB1 for a while, as did I. I just recently got an SB2 in. What are your thoughts on the putter?
You know, I think we're on the verge of being what's called fanboys.
It's getting there. You know, I just – the company that does so many things right, you know, it's hard to knock what they're doing. They're putting out incredible products. I will say that the SB1 was the first Seymour putter I ever tried. And – at that point, I wasn't hooked. The red dot I found bothered me almost too much. Maybe it was the black finish with the oversized mallet and everything else, but I thought it produced an incredible roll, and I actually really enjoyed, once I got used to the RST technology, the alignment. Center shafted, it balanced, and we'll get into balance a little more later on, but it was... The SB2, I actually, when picking it up, I actually prefer it. The face is a little different, and it's heel shafted, so it's more suiting for my eye, I would say. Even though I'm a center shafted guy in a lot of ways, when I'm looking at the full size mallet, for some reason I like it heel shafted. But both work, and they both work well. When you used the SB1, was that one of the first Seymours you had used, or were you previously familiar with them?
You know, I started on the M1 in 2007, really right after sort of the relaunch of Seymour under the new ownership. So, I was familiar with the Rivalscope alignment system by the time the SB1 came around. So, it fit right in. It's a large mallet. I think, from what I understand, the SB2 is a little smaller. I think people should know that it's an all-aluminum head. And that gives you a different feel than the stainless steel milled heads of their M series.
Yeah.
And it also has movable weight or customizable weight technology down the spine.
And when you said the steel with the aluminum, the face of the SB1, I'll compare to just about anything on the market for inserts or anything else. That milled aluminum felt so good. And if you like full-size mallets, this is something you got to take a look at. The SB2 is actually available in two finishes, the black, like the SB1, and a silver that I just love. It's like a platinum-colored satin silver that just – it's striking. And the face is done in diamonds is the easiest way to say it. It's a striking putter.
Yeah, on the SB1, in terms of the feel and the aluminum, I have to say I'm not blown away by it. I think it may be just the head material or the acoustics. You know, it's fine, but I think I love the feel of the M series so much that I'm sort of grading on a curve, so to speak, the Seymour curve.
Yeah.
And the feel of SB1 just doesn't quite rise to the level of the M series, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I was a little different. I'm also a little different in the aspect that while I loved the MFGP and the MFGP2. I actually loved their original stainless version of those. I thought the face felt as good as milling with a different kind of audible tone that just that set me over the top. And I'd like to see those back in their lineups personally. But I know they've gone to a powder coat now that I really like as well, so I can't knock that.
Yeah, and I think there's a question of pricing there too. What their SB Series 250, M Series 325, and boy, you know, it's there's am I going to dig through the couch cushions for that extra $75? And I think I am.
That's a good way to look at it. You know, for me, it really comes down to shape. And
exactly. And that is where the SB1 and the SB2 are differentiated. So, yeah, maybe that's too simplistic to put it down to price because they are different putters and they have that weight technology. I think I'm just such a fan of the M Series.
Yeah, and we both are, and we both love them. But I will say that aluminum milled face on the SB was the first thing that hooked me. I just love the feel, and maybe it's just that lightweight material that's almost spongy to me with a great audible tone, but it's in some ways it ruined a lot of other oversized mallets that I've tried since then.
Yeah, and the look of it, its setup is just sweet, and the weight being down the spine in the middle, sort of inline weighting, and you can weight this thing up pretty high, it really has just beautiful stroke balance, and I found even with a slight arcing stroke, or even if you go straight back and straight through, I think this putter just really likes to stay online. It's, you know, it's a different concept than pushing weight out to the perimeters. It's keeping the weight down the center. I think the Rife IMO or IMO putters are built on that concept as well. And I found that the SB1 from just a stroke balance and performance standpoint was spot on. You know, my only hesitation is relative to feel and relative to cost to the M Series.
Well, that sound indicates our segment called The Buzz. And we have a couple of different topics this time. First, we're going to be talking about a putter company that many may have never heard of, and perhaps really should, and that is De La Cruz Putters. Sean, you've spent considerable time with them and been able to try their stuff quite a bit. Why don't you kind of give everybody an introduction on what they do?
Yeah, it falls under the banner of De La Cruz Golf Designs, and they've been making putters now for a couple of years down in Carlsbad, California. And the founder is Dick De La Cruz, who's just a legend in the golf and putter equipment.
Now, this
industry.
Is the same Dick De La Cruz that was with Callaway.
Yeah, from the very beginning.
Did designs for Cobra. And yes. If I'm correct, was involved with Founders Club way back when they had the cool driver names like The Judge, and even worked with Jesse Ortiz at Orlemar. So he's been across with just about everybody.
Yeah. He is, like I said, he's a legend. And De La Cruz Golf Designs is a little company that he started with his son, Richard. And I had the privilege of making a pilgrimage down to Dick's house earlier this year just to kind of hang out and learn more about him and what he's doing and what he's up to and where he's headed. And it was a lot of fun. He's just a great guy. His wife's a doll. And, you know, we just hung out in his garage and talked putters. And, boy, I mean, he is just an encyclopedia and, one story after another. He pulls out this putter, you know, in his garage. He's rattling around. He pulls it out. He says, this is the first CNC milled putter ever made. And it was one of the Callaway Hickory Stick putters. And I said, well, oh, that's great. You know, that's that line, that first line of CNC milled putters. And he's like, no, this is the one.
What's his address? Because I'm going to go get that.
Yeah, this is the first CNC putter ever made. And, you know, we talked about how TP Mills had been making milled putters before that, but how he and Callaway, inspired by that, but certainly from an efficiency standpoint, wanted to take it to the CNC milling level. And that was the putter that they came up with.
What everybody wants to know is, this is one of the few lines that's even out there today that I've never touched. I look forward to someday because what I hear, not just from you, but from everybody I've spoken to, is their equipment really is top notch.
Yeah, you know, they have the DGD sweet slot technology on their putters.
Now, what is that?
Now, it's a slot that runs all the way through the back of the face from the top line through the sole. And, you know, it's like what is known as a sound slot, which is typically more in just the sole flange. But
now,
this
let me
actually,
ask you a question real fast about that. Is that a lot different than what we see in like the Seymour FGP? How it's open?
Yeah, it's a lot different.
Okay.
I mean, this is a like a slot that you could slip a coin through from the top of the crown of the putter, and it would drop out the sole.
Okay.
And it was according to Dick, is a huge engineering challenge, but it was something that he figured out how to do while touring an aerospace company in Southern California, and he previously thought it was impossible. But it gives a very distinct audio feedback mechanism to the putter, and it's just a cool differentiating piece of technology on the DGD putters. And another thing that stands out with these is just the look. They're really elegant. They're not just the same old copycat design. And they've got this groove technology on the face. It's almost like a sandpaper. Like if you grab a ball and you press the ball into the face and then you pull down to like run the ball across the face, you can't. It like sticks.
So, I assume
you
that
talk
would
about
be
grooves
able to,
grabbing. Yeah, yeah, you talk about grooves grabbing the ball. I mean, these grooves grab the ball. Now, whether or not that has an appreciable impact on the roll, I can't say. But if any grooves are going to grab a ball, it's these. So, I'm looking at it right now, and it's just an impressive work by an impressive family in the putter world. And the other thing that stands out about the putter, I've got the blade here, and it's 400 grams. It's a little heavy for me, and that's the one thing I would like to see this in a little lighter putter. And 400 grams that's getting up there.
That's
a lot of people would dig
pretty
that.
Heavy.
Yeah.
I see. It looks like they make a couple of different models.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a preference?
Yeah, the one I got and I had an opportunity to make the choice was the B2 blade. I mean, it's just got this nice curvaceous design to it, very symmetrical and quiet. It's set up classy. It's really nice putter. And I'd like to see them, get a little more play.
Now, what's their website so people can check them out? And, again, we don't do a whole lot of plugging on this show, but being a company that I've never tried, which is a rarity, I figure we could at least give the listeners the name of their website.
Yeah, I think it's dgdgolf.com.
I believe you're exactly right. Well, I'm definitely going to be looking them up because I'm going to definitely want to try one of those eventually, and I know I'm not getting yours. So that's
Yeah, maybe we could do a hostage negotiation with the Backstrike and the DGD.
No,
and
see, I want everything and not want to give up nothing. Those are things you're going to learn.
Well, you know what? From what I understand, you don't need another putter because you just made another switch, right?
You're
going to stick with that one forever, right?
At least that's what I'm telling people. You are correct. Our next topic in the buzz is actually me being a little OCD and switching putters. What some people may not realize is I used, for the most part, a Seymour putter for the last 18 months. And growing up playing golf, I played a Ping Answer, the original Answer. It was a hand-me-down. I liked it. But I'd never – when I took the game back up, I never got back into that Answer-style putter. I was one of the few out there that didn't flock to the Cameron Newports or the Ping Answers or any other brand that makes the same exact-looking putter. I'd never been able to really go back to that. But one day after doing some research for an article, I picked up a Ping Redwood, and I started putting with it. We have an indoor putting green at the house, and I started putting with it, and I couldn't get over the fact that just looking down at it, it set up perfectly. I took it to the course. I was making everything in sight the first time, of course, because that's what the honeymoon period does, and I kept it in the bag, and it's a rarity for me. I've always gone right back to the Seymour putter, and this has nothing to do with Seymour's quality because I still love them and know I'll be back eventually. Well, lo and behold, I've been using the Ping Redwood, and 2 days in a row I played in the extreme sun dead over you, and I think I have retina damage from the glare I got off the top of that putter. First day, I decided, okay, it's just a fluke. It was the day. Second time it happened the next day, it was that bad. And I said, okay, I got to look at other options, different finishes, whatever it was. Like the golf gods are shining over me for the first time in my life, a package arrives the next day, and inside it is a Never Compromise X-ray. I think it's the Tau, the blade. I liked the X-ray putters when I tried it, more specifically the mallet than the blade. So I took this one over to the putting green and was messing around with it, and I had the same results. It's like the style shot back into my head, and like I was a kid with no fear and couldn't read greens, but just hammered it at the hole, everything went in. All of a sudden, this X-ray with that insert that looks like kryptonite but red with the little metal grooves, it's working. And it gives – you know, my biggest problem with putting in the world, I have two of them. A, are leaving things just a little short, as most amateurs do. And B, getting that – I don't have a problem with the three-footer. I don't have a problem with the six-footer. But that 4- and 5-foot putt just kills me. But with this one and the kind of the plump impact I'm getting and the good forward roll, it's eliminated both of those things. So all of a sudden, I got a Never Compromise in my bag. I never thought I'd see the day. And I'm thrilled to death with it. So how about that long-winded story?
Well, for the record, I have to say, I think you said the words making it and honeymoon in the same sentence.
That's so. True. And
let the record state. And I didn't know that about you and the Ping Answer, and that's interesting because it was the same for me. My dad took me down to San Francisco when I was a youngster to get myself a Ping Answer putter, which is, I still have it. It's 35 inches. It's probably way too long for me at the time. But, you know, what a great putter and just such a keepsake and a great memory the Ping Answer has given to me, and I'm sure you. And like you, you know, I sort of flirt back and forth with that style. It's, you know, it's got a special place in my heart, so it's I'm drawn to it, but I try to resist it as well sometimes because I think I putt better perhaps without offset. Now the Tau is an answer style look, right?
It is, and it's a dark finish with, you know, some platinum mixed in there. There's no glare, and this is not taking anything away from the Redwood, which is a phenomenal putter. I don't know if you've rolled one, but they have a tremendous feel, tremendous look, but I got to tell you, in that Florida sun, and I know you get it in the California sun too, that glare, I was seeing stars for 3 or 4 holes. Now, ironically enough, though, I probably played those 3 or 4 holes better than ever before because I couldn't see straight, and maybe that's the best way to do things, but...
Yeah, I was out at noon the other day with a putter that shall go unnamed and got blinded a few times, and yeah, it can be... pretty unnerving. Now, I've had a chance to try the Tau and the mallet X-ray putter too, and I think, yeah, from distance control, they just seem phenomenal.
I mean, everything like I put with was, yeah, 18 inches past the hole.
Yeah, yeah. And I think there was a study done in one of the major outlets talking about that where they did independent testing, and I think that the X-ray scored really high on that front, where you hit it off the toe, you hit it off the heel, hit it out the center at sort of the same pace, and more than any other putter in the test, they were the closest in terms of the distance they went.
Gotcha. I am psyched, and the readers can have now heard my long-winded rant. Well, that sound many have come to know means tech talk, and this week, I should say month, we have a very polarizing topic that both Sean and I have an opinion on. It's been on the THP forums and on his site as well, and that is belly putters. Now, before I give my opinion, why don't you share with the world, I guess you would say, what exactly is a belly putter?
Well, the belly putter is in the category of long putters, and you have various iterations of long putter. They can be anchored under the chin, you know, the chest, the stomach, things like that, and you see them occasionally on the PGA Tour when someone's game's going squirrely, you often see them resort to that. I don't know. Think it's really the first choice of the tour, any touring pro, but a lot of them have been really successful with that. And it's engendered a lot of controversy because with the belly putter, you are anchoring the shaft, the club, to another point on your body. And there's been an outcry by some of the pros like Ernie Els and others saying that they should be outlawed. And even I think Monty, who used one, said they should be outlawed, but until they were,
until he was until he was winning with it, he wouldn't have anything to say then.
Always his charming self.
Yeah, Mrs. Doubtfire, no question about it. Do you have an opinion on him one way or the other?
You know, I want to, but I don't know. You know, personally, they're not for me. Not to say I might not putt better with one, but I don't like the word belly. I mean, this can sound just silly, but I just don't like it, you know. And as I get older, you know, I wish I had the hardcore ass. I don't like the sensation, you know. I guess if I was Tiger Woods, but if you're Angel Cabrera or something, I don't know. I just don't like that thing. Ugh.
You know, I have two here, and I mess around with them from time to time, and one is a little too long, and one is a little too short. So the one that's a little too long, I feel really good about myself. But the one that's a little too short, I find myself like protruding my stomach out to make it work.
Yeah, they make me feel like I need to do sit-ups.
Yeah, but I will say this. I putt better with them, at least on the indoor putting green when, you know, you're used to a break and this and that. The problem is when I take them outside, I have a tough time for here and there keeping my stroke – correct going backwards. Like I'll bring it out like I'm almost looping, and that's exactly what should happen with this, being that it's anchored. But I really have no problem with them being legal, and it seems to me the people who have a problem with them being legal know they would help their game but don't want to use them for whatever reason.
Sounds like me.
You know, and that's the reason. I mean, Mrs. Doubtfire had no problem with it and playing it when he was using it, and now that he switched out of it, he says they should be illegal.
Well, you know, in his defense, I don't know if he said that after he'd switched out of it. I think it was kind of like, well, as long as they're going to let me do it, I'll do it. But, you know, by the way, I think they should be outlawed. Kind of like, you know, maybe, I don't know. But I'm all for anything that lowers the score, but sometimes life's just too short to be pulling out that big stick and jamming it. You know what I mean?
I don't know. That sounded very inappropriate.
It might shave a few strokes off my round. I don't know. But, you know, at the end of the day, I don't know. I just want to.
I look at it just like I look at the Niblick. I'm a low handicap golfer, and I love that thing. So if I am strictly there to lower my score.
You're speaking of the Cleveland Niblick, which I love. I mean, I beat that thing to hell.
Yeah, I mean.
The desert, Target Golf.
When
I
started playing
out of the
golf,
cactus with that thing.
Yeah. When I started playing golf with some really good players, my ego went out the door.
Yeah.
So
well, that maybe I'm not playing, you know, I'm just more hacking around and you know, I certainly see like you say, better players, or even if you're playing for real money. I mean, that changes everything, you know.
I just can't get comfortable with them, but I know that some people love them. And listen, I'm not going to be the person to condemn them. There's a million people out there who say, ban them. I have no problem with it. They're in the rules, and listen, golf's got enough rules that I'm okay with.
I'd ban
this
them
one.
Just because they're ugly.
That I'm okay with. I am superficial and vanity-filled, so I'd be okay with that. And that sound means school's in session, and we are going to talk about Jargon Buster. And I got my pen ready as well. Sean, why don't you tell us, everybody, what we're learning this week and what your thoughts are on it?
Yeah, Jargon Buster is our segment where we delve into different aspects of putter fitting. And we talked for the show, and we decided to do putter balance, which is basically how the putter is oriented to the center of gravity and the axis of the shaft. And
now this will have a big role in what type of stroke you have, you know, straight back, straight through, or arc, correct?
Yes, it will. I mean, there's different schools of thought on that, but, you know, we're going to speak generally here.
Okay.
And we're going to speak generally about two types of putter balance and the two types of stroke. And on the balance front, you have what's called face balance putters and putters that are toe down. And
now, how can somebody tell what kind of putter they have?
Basically, you take your putter and you hold the grip end, and then you stick out your other hand, maybe put two fingers out, and put your fingers lower on the shaft, somewhere where you can let go with your other hand, and so that the putter is now balancing at the lower end of the shaft onto your two fingers, and you're holding it with just your two fingers. If the face of the putter is parallel to the ceiling or the sky, it's face balanced. If while you're doing that, the face of the putter starts to angle toward the ground, then it's toe down. And you have different levels of toe down. Sometimes the toe, if you're looking at the face angling down in comparison to the hour hand on a clock, you know, it might go down to, face balance would be 3 o'clock. And then it might go down if it's toe down to 4, 5 o'clock. And if it's fully toe down, it'd be at the 6 o'clock position, basically angling straight down toward the ground.
Now, different strokes, and like you said, we're going to get into more of the generality of it. There's two kinds of putter strokes in general, though, isn't there?
Right. There's a straight back, straight through, where you're trying to just basically keep the face of the putter completely perpendicular to the target line throughout the stroke. And then there is the arcing stroke, where you're keeping the face of the putter in line with the arc, and then as you come around to the ball, ideally, you're now back in line with the target line. And so in either case, as long as you are square at the point of impact, you're going to hit it where it wants to go. So you have those two philosophies or stroke types. There's different thoughts out there as to which is the best way to approach, but I think generally people are acknowledging now that the most natural way to putt is to allow the physics of your body to take over, and that would result in a bit of an arc.
Now, which do you think, which about the putter balance, how does that work with each type of stroke?
Well, generally speaking, the face balance putter is going to work better with a more straight back and straight through stroke or a very slight arcing stroke. And the toe down putter is going to work more with the arcing stroke or what they call a gated stroke. And so because the face wants to, the toe weight wants to open and close, right, as you balance it on your finger. So as you do an arcing stroke, that toe will ideally open and close and flow with the arc. Whereas if it's face balanced, it wants to stay more straight, favoring the straight back and straight through stroke. And so you're looking at toe down. We talked about the various degrees of toe down. Now, if those classic blades like the Wilsons and putters like that, you know, the old school blades, those will point nearly fully toe down, like at the 6 o'clock position. And so that's going to favor more a severe arcing stroke. And if you're looking at toe down and maybe just a slight toe down to 4 o'clock, then, you know, that's going to probably work better with a gentler arc in your stroke.
Wow, that's a whole lot of information.
Yeah. I have a post. There's a section on the site called Putting Tips, and we go into these things. So if in the reading of that, you might be able to delve into it a little more than just...
And this is on putterzone.com, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll definitely have to... Hopefully the readers will check that out. I know I will be, as I do... Your site's on my favorites list that I check out just about every morning. So,
yeah, you know, just to review, there's these two balance types: face balance and toe down being in varying degrees. And face balance is generally acknowledged to be more in line with a straight back, straight through style of stroke, and toe down is going to be more favorable to an arcing stroke.
That makes perfect sense in theory. Now I have to relate that somehow to making more putts, which I do very rarely to begin with. That is our show this month. We hope you guys enjoyed it. Any last words you have, Sean?
Other than that I had a lot of fun and look forward to the next time. No, I'm all set.
Yeah, and don't forget, you can contact him at Sean, S-E-A-N, at putterzone.com, or me at josh@thehackersparadise.com. And tell us what you want to talk about, what you have questions with. If you have questions, tell us about the greatest birdie you've ever made. Did it involve a putt?
Don't be shy. Just come on out. I know we both love to interact with people and be a help when we can, or tell
or
you
be
what
annoying.
We don't know and what we do. Yeah, exactly.
So our slogan here that I stole from Sean and Putter Zone is "Do not fear the green, conquer it." And we want you guys to all follow that motto and get out there and make more putts.
Sweet.
We will see you guys next month. Thanks.